Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church.
All right, well, cool beans. Well, I'm so glad that you guys are here. Most parents know this. I have a one-year-old and a four-year-old. Daylight savings time, most of you got an extra hour of sleep. But if you're a parent, you did not, did you? You went to bed like it was a normal night because your kids still woke up at the same time. If they usually woke up at 6, they woke up at 5 is what they did, right? Pastor Josh was telling me his kids, they usually wake up at 5. They woke up at 4 this morning. And so we'll be sure to get you guys out in time for a nap, okay? I know everybody needs their Sunday nap in time for the hayride and bonfire and the fireworks spectacle that we're going to have tonight. But I want to talk to you about something this morning. Typically, we do sermon series around here, and we just ended a great series called Lead Well. I hope you guys got something out of that and grew through that experience. But I decided to end it early because God just laid on my heart before our big weekend where we want you to invite your friends. Felt like we needed to talk about something particular. And so today's kind of a one-off. And then after Martin T. Rucker comes, we're gonna start ramping up for Christmas and do a series called Skipping Christmas and talk about that. But I want to talk to you this morning. Have you ever had anything in your life that you tried to explain to a friend, you tried to invite them to it, you tried to explain exactly what it was or what was going to happen, but your explanation just couldn't do it justice? I mean, you're like, oh, you got to try this, it's so great, it's awesome, I did this thing, or I went to this place, I tried this restaurant, and you tried to give it words, but words could not do it justice. And so eventually you could see by their face that they were very confused, that they just weren't buying it. What you were saying, you know, you weren't doing a good enough job on your sales pitch. And so eventually what you just landed on was you're going to have to come and see. Just see for yourself. Just come, just try it, just go. You got to experience it. You got to see. And I promise me, you'll see. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll experience it for yourself. I recently received fantastic news in my life. Stephen from our church, Stephen messaged me on Facebook and he said, hey, this is kind of like a pastor appreciation gift / I want you to come and be a part of this. But for my company, I have to take out a client in a couple weeks. And WWE SmackDown Live is coming to town. It's a televised wrestling event. It's on USA Network on Tuesday nights, just so you know. And they're coming to town, and I need you to come with me and this client. Are you good with that? And I sent him a GIF of someone passing out. I was so excited, and I said, Stephen, yes, I will come with you. He goes, well, I just got to tell you, my company, they own box seats, so we're going to be sitting in box seats watching SmackDown Live. I sent him another GIF of someone passing out. He said, well, hold on, you need to check your calendar. I said, Stephen, I don't care if church is going on Sunday morning. It's all canceled. I'm going to SmackDown Live. I don't care what's going on. I will be there, my friend. I love you so much. And so he invited me to go with him and this client to go see SmackDown Live here in a couple weeks. And I had to warn him, though, because I said, it's like, you know, when you find out your friend's into the same thing you are, you get real nerded out, and you're like, now we have something else to talk about. And I said, Stephen, I had no idea you were a wrestling fan. He goes, I'm not a wrestling fan. I used to watch it as a kid. I'm taking out this client. I need you to come with me. I want you to come with me. I know that you like wrestling. And I said, well, Stephen, I have to warn you. I'm not who you think I am at a wrestling event. Okay? I want to warn you. I said, who is this client? Is this someone you're trying to impress? Because if it's someone you're trying to impress, don't bring me, because I will embarrass you, Stephen. I said, I go to these things. I love these things. I grew up with this as a kid, and I haven't been in like 5 years. The last time I went with the Dillos. The Dillos and I went to Extreme Rules 5 years ago, and I've been just telling my wife. I said, you know, I tried to drop her hints for my birthday that was last month. I said, you know, they're coming to town, and I haven't been in a really long time, not 5 years since the Dillos, and it didn't work at all. But luckily, Stephen is better than my wife at knowing what I want in my life. And so he invited me, but I just told him, I said, I just got to warn you, you know, I'm going to go buy a wrestling t-shirt. I might wear a mask. I might bring a toy belt with me, and I will boo, and I will chant, and I will act like a weirdo. So just know, if you're okay with that, I'm ready to go. And he's never been to a wrestling event before. And I tried to explain it. I said, oh, Stephen, I said, it's a televised event. It's going to be so fun. There's pyro, there's music, there's drama, there's storyline. Here's some of the people who are going to be there. He had no clue what I was talking about. And I said, Stephen, it's like a soap opera for men with testosterone and costumes and music. It's so great. And still, he didn't even understand what I was talking about. I think he was a little weirded out, which is probably why he's not here today. I'm just kidding. His kid's sick. But I just told him, I said, you're gonna love it. Just wait. You'll see for yourself. When we're there, you're going to love it. And there's so many things in life that are like that, where your explanation cannot do it justice. Your words cannot exactly describe the experience of going through something. And so all that you're left to do is invite people to come and see for themselves. Just say, you'll see. When you get there, just try it. Just experience it. Just go once. And I guarantee you'll know exactly what I'm talking about because you'll feel it. And there's so many things like that. You can't describe love, can you? Try to describe love to a child, what love is. Love is not something that can be explained. Love is just something you have to experience to truly know what it is, to truly enjoy it, to truly capture it. You have to just go through it. And try explaining to somebody what it means to have a best friend. Nobody really knows why they're your best friend. You don't even know why they're your best friend. You just know, and you, because it's what you've experienced, it's what you've seen. Bo Burgess for Pastor Appreciation got all the pastors Black Rifle Coffee. Have any of you ever had Black Rifle Coffee? You're going to have it next week because next weekend is Veterans Weekend, and so I'm going to buy some and brew it for you. But it's terrific coffee. It's a company run and owned by veterans, and part of the money that when you purchase a bag of their coffee goes to veterans. But it's terrific coffee, and Bo and Carrie and I and several of us, we drink Black Rifle Coffee. It's awesome. I can't explain why it's so good, why it's better. Maybe because the bag has a big gun on it. I don't know, but I love it, and you're going to love it too. Just wait. Just come and see next weekend, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But there's things like that in our life that we just have to invite people to come and see. And that same principle applies to a relationship with Jesus. I mean, being a Christian, having a relationship with Jesus, it cannot be described. You cannot really put it to words. I don't know if you've ever tried, but it makes you sound like a psychopath, really, if you've ever tried it before. Because if you go to your friends and say, you know, I used to be just like you, but then I found this church and I learned about Jesus and I gave my life to Jesus. And right there, people are going, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You gave your life to Jesus. Yeah, I gave my life to Jesus and I wanted to remember it and mark that and celebrate that. And so my pastor, he went to, you know, a barn place and he bought a trough and he filled it with water and he drowned me in it. And then he pulled me out really quickly and everybody celebrated. And now Jesus speaks to me and he guides my life and he's told me, you're next. That's the easiest way to lose friends, is to try to explain Christianity and explain a relationship with Jesus, because nobody likes hearing that you're going to get drowned in a trough. Nobody's attracted to that. A relationship with Jesus is something that honestly you just have to invite people to come and see for themselves, right? It's something that people have to experience to know what it really is, to understand why it's important and what it is. And it's honestly the most effective way to reach people. You know, we're talking about that all the time. How do we reach more people? And we do everything technology-wise that we can. You know, we have a website, we do Facebook, and we do ads, and we do all that stuff. But studies have shown in any arena, the best way to get people involved, to grow, is for personal invitations to go out, for friends to invite their friends, to family members to invite their family members. Because when they hear it from you, when you hear from somebody you trust and somebody invites you to come and to experience something with you, people latch on to that. Many of you know this. If you're new here today, you'll know it really quick. I've sold my soul to CrossFit. I'm wearing a CrossFit t-shirt today, and I'll explain this in a little bit. But I've sold my soul to CrossFit, and there's like 20 CrossFitters that go to our church. They're hidden all around you. We're invading this space very quickly. We'll all be doing burpees during handshaking time very, very soon. But I told one of my friends, I said, you ought to come to our church. We have a ton of CrossFitters that go in church. Our church is jacked. We're the healthiest church in town. You ought to come. He said, really? He said, a lot of your church is filled with CrossFitters. That's like a cult inside of a cult, isn't it? I said, something like that. But the way that I found CrossFit is I had watched it for years, the games and different things that were on ESPN. I read about it and stuff when it started to get big a few years ago. But I always thought, that's not for me. Until my friend invited me to come and to see it, to come try it just once. And I tried it, and I was hooked. And my wife, I've always tried, my biggest goal in life, besides planning a church, was to get my wife to work out with me. And that never happened. We tried everything. We tried biking. We tried hiking. We tried running. Nothing ever fit. We would always fight. Always ended in a fight. But I told her, I said, you got to try this. You got to try CrossFit. Just try it once. And she came and she got hooked on it. And yesterday, we actually did our first competition. Yesterday, we did a competition in St. Charles that supported the Backstoppers yesterday. And guess what? We're still married. We're still married. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. We competed together. She only got mad at me once because she got a little tiffed at me, and I said, what's going on? She goes, you yelled at me in the middle, and you cursed. I said, I did not curse. I'm a pastor. I never cursed. She said, you yelled at me. Use your freaking legs. I said, well, I was just trying to get you to use your legs. I'm sorry. But other than that, we were great. We did awesome. And we were so excited about that. My wife, she does CrossFit now. And I got my sister and her husband to do CrossFit. There was a couple years ago, I told my sister, you just got to try this, because she was dealing with her weight and she was trying to get in shape. And I said, you just got to try this. And she wouldn't. So I wrote her a check for her birthday. And then the memo line, like a jerk, I said, only can be used for CrossFit. And so I gave that to her, and she tried it, and now she's doing it and stuff through her first pregnancy and everything, and my brother-in-law does it. My whole family's health has been changed by this. But that's how I got involved with that. And many of you, that's how you got here to Anchored Hope Church. Many of you, we've grown from 8 people in a firehouse to where we are today because somebody invited you to come and see what Anchored Hope was all about. Bo Burgess is here today because one day he was on Larry Talley's farm and he spilled a bunch of beans like a knucklehead. But Larry had grace and mercy on him and he invited him to church. And there was a day where Bo had a terrible, hard day where he found out his grandfather had passed away in Ohio. And he had no clue where to go. He had no community, no tribe, no team to back him up. And so he ended up coming to us at Bonfils Auditorium. He came late. He tried to come through a door that was locked. He rattled the doors. We all barricaded ourselves. We thought the invasion was here. But he found his way in, and Bo has been here ever since. And we love him and Randy and their family and everything that they give here to Anchored Hope. But he came because Larry Talley invited him to come and see. I went with the teenagers to camp this summer. And there was a point where we talked about our ability to impact other people. And we kind of tracked back how everyone ended up at Anchored Hope. And the Hornikers were invited by the Hudsons. And the Hudsons were invited by the Dillos. And we kind of tracked it back. And we just kind of saw how the family tree winded and twisted as branches were extended to different families. And many of you, that's how you got here. It's because someone invited you. They cared about you enough. They loved you enough. They wanted you to experience what they had experienced. And they invited you to come and see. And you know, this is exactly how Jesus grew his ministry. This isn't anything new that's invited, and it's been effective for a very, very long time. Jesus started his ministry this way. And if we look back, you know, the first few chapters of the New Testament, they're known as the Gospels. And those first few books are firsthand accounts of people who were with Jesus, who saw what Jesus did. And they're collected and they're together in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And they're known as the Gospels, and they recount Jesus' life. And I want to just share with you a little bit of that history and look at back at how Jesus started his church back then. In these documents, we find two different Johns. There was John the Apostle and John the Baptist. He was known as John the Baptist because he invented baptism, but he was also the cousin of Jesus. And John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, he was the first one to really say, Jesus is coming. He continued what the prophets had said in the Old Testament. He was the first one to really, you know, wave the flag and get everybody's attention about it as he began to preach and teach about Jesus is coming, and he began to baptize people. And there's something very interesting, the approach that he took and then the approach that Jesus continued that I want to share with you this morning, if that's okay. In John 1, the very first chapter, this is what we read. It says, the next day, John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was doing his thing, and Jesus walks by, and he tells everybody, look over there. Look, that's Jesus. That's Jesus over there. That's the one that you've been waiting for, that you've been looking for. That's the thing you want. That's the thing you need. Right there, that's him. And then no one does anything. And that's okay, because John was persistent. And so the next day, this is what we read next. It says, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, this is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. And Jesus looked around and saw them following and said, what do you want? He asked them. Now, this is such an important note. It's so subtle, but it's so important. John didn't give up the first time, did he? The first time he told everyone, look, and everyone looked, but then they didn't do anything. What did he do? Well, they're not coming. I guess they don't want Jesus. I invited him. I said I would invite somebody to come and see. I pointed everybody's attention over there. Nobody did it. I'm good. I did my job. No, John was persistent. Again, as soon as he got another opportunity, he said, look again. I told you, this is the guy. And two men were curious enough to go, okay, let's see what this is about. And so like little creepers, they start stalking Jesus. It's very weird. They start walking behind him, oddly. And Jesus turns around and he says, what do you want? Which Jesus is not being rude. When you read that, you're like, wow, Jesus was kind of rude to them. No, this was a loaded question. Jesus was really asking them, what do you want out of life? What can I give you? What do you want? Many times, God and Jesus, they ask us this question. What do you want? Because I'm ready to give it to you. What do you want? Just tell me. I want to communicate with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And this is how these men respond. It says, they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? If anybody asks you this question in a parking lot of a Target, don't respond how Jesus responds, okay? If anybody's just creeping on you and you turn around, you're like, what do you want? We just want to know where you live. Don't tell them where you live, please, all right? I want you to be safe. They're curious about where Jesus was going. And this is how Jesus responds. He says, come and see. He didn't preach to them. He didn't tell them to repent. He didn't call them a sinner. He didn't start going to town on their habits. He just invites them. Well, you want to know? Come and see. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Jesus, the first two people he reached, it wasn't through a sermon. It wasn't through a guilt trip. It was an invitation. What, you want to know? Come and see. And then what did he do? He spent the day with them. What do you think they did? I think they just hung out. I mean, that'd be my best guess. Jesus was a big fan of eating with people. They probably ordered out. They got some pizza, maybe played some board games, watched a movie. I don't know. But it didn't say that they did anything epic enough to write. I mean, when the first, accounts of Jesus, the people who witnessed this, they asked these guys, well, what did you guys do all day? What was said? We were just with him all day. We didn't want to leave. He was so interesting. He was so intriguing. It was so great. We were just together. And it's something so subtle, isn't it? Something so subtle, it almost doesn't make sense. Just an invitation to come and hang out, to come and see, to come and try it. But it was something so subtle, but so impactful, that here's what they did next. It says next, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. And Andrew, he went to go find his brother, Simon, and told him, "We have found the Messiah." And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. So something so subtle but so impactful, the first thing that happened is Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he goes and he gets his brother. And what he says, "We found the Messiah." He says to his brother, he goes, "Man, you got to come with me. You got to come and see this. I can't explain it to you. I'm not going to try to talk you into it. Just come with me. I have found what we are looking for. I have found what we both need in our lives right now. I know you. I know what you're going through. I know your situation. You got to come with me because I want you to experience this. I want you to see this for yourself. Just come and see with me." And it continues on. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Again, he runs into somebody else. What does he do? Does he sit there? Does he preach? Does he give him a guilt trip? No, he says, "Hey, you ought to come with me. You ought to come and follow me. Come and see what I'm doing." So Philip, he went. And then he went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person that Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus." And then it goes on, "The son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael, he says, "Nazareth? Can anything good from Nazareth?" So Philip goes and he goes and gets someone that he wants to hear and experience this. So he goes and gets Nathanael, and Nathanael, he's a skeptic. And he goes, "Really, Nazareth? There's nothing that good that comes out of Nazareth. I mean, what I've been looking for, it sure doesn't come from Nazareth. I know that much." And you may have probably had that own experience in your life where maybe you're like, "Hey, there's this great church in Troy. Nothing comes good out of Troy. That's what I've heard. I'm going to Winsville. That's where I'm going. I know that. But there, you gotta come see. I'm telling you, there is. And you've got to experience it, and I want you to experience it. So will you come and will you see for yourself?" How powerful to see as Jesus' ministry begins to grow, as Jesus begins to talk and invite each of these people, and then each of these people begin to experience Jesus, their first thought is, "I've got to go tell my brother about this. I've got to go tell my family about this. I've got to go tell my friends about this because I don't want my friends to miss out on this. I don't want my brother or my sister or my family to miss out on this. This is so great. This is so worth it. I've got to go and invite them to be a part of this because at least even if they don't decide to come, I can say, I invited you. At least I can say I did that much." I just recently learned something from Larry Talley. Larry, you've shown up in the sermon twice today. I expect to get tipped afterwards. You too, Bo. But I learned something from Larry Talley this year. Did you know that fans change directions? I did not know this. Let me help you because I'm so excited about this news. Fans change directions and they go counterclockwise in the summer to blow cool air down. And then there's a switch, and you do that switch, and it goes the other way. It rotates clockwise, and you're supposed to do this when it gets cold outside, and it brings cold air up. It moves it so it can be warmer. Did you all know this, or do you just not care? This is fascinating news to me. When Larry explained this to me in the cafe, I was amazed. I went and told Kate. I went and told everyone. Did you know fans do this? And they've done this forever. This changes my life. The other day it started to get cold and I changed the direction of the fan. And I said, every time a fan gets changed, an angel gets their wings. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Larry Talley, for telling me about this. This is great news. I was so excited to hear. How many of your friends don't know about Jesus? And it's simply because you have never invited them to know about him. How many of your friends are going to be ticked at you when they find out that you knew all along about Jesus and about where they could find Jesus and where they could come and see, and you never told them about it? Now, let me ask you a deeper, more serious question. When they find out about Jesus and the fact that you knew and you never told them, will it be too late? Because you didn't tell them in time. And they needed this a long time ago, before they got divorced, before they went bankrupt, before, God forbid, they pass away, before it gets too late. When they find out that you knew what they needed all along, but you didn't tell them because you didn't want to be awkward, will it be too late for them to know? Who do you need to invite to come and see? Next weekend, the whole weekend, what this is all about, why we are investing in this. And let me tell you something, and I feel like I just need to tell you this. The church is not paying for next weekend. The Dunlaps and I have gone 50-50 on this, and we are paying for this next weekend because we believe in the impact that this can have on your friends and family. And it's over and beyond what the church could take care of. But our families got together and we said, we just believe in the impact that this can have. Well, let's do it. Let's invest. Let's go in together. We will take care of this because people in our community, our families, our neighbors, they need to know. And we're giving you your opportunity, your moment to invite people to come and see. The city needs to know they were supposed to change their clocks because that alarm is not supposed to go off till noon. Just a side note. Somebody call the city and let them know. It's not. There's no bombs going off. That happens every day at noon in this town. Anyway, who do you need to invite to come and see? Now, here's the thing. Whenever I preach this message, the first thing that people think is, okay, all right, who of my friends don't go to a church? Who of my friends don't go to church? And I get this response at least five times every time I preach on this scripture or preach this kind of message. I always get the response, Michael, I don't have any friends who don't go to church. And to that I say this, then you need to get out more, okay? Because you need to have friends that don't go to church. Don't live in a little Christian bubble where all you know is Christian people. I know that you grew up, I grew up in that thing too, thinking that that's what you needed to do. But here's the thing, you're supposed to be a light in a dark world. So you need to go to some dark places where some new light can shine. You with me? You need to get out and you need to make some friends who don't go to church, who don't know a relationship with Jesus, because you can't hide it. You got to shine that light. But here's the other thing, okay? We always think, well, who are my friends who don't go to church? Well, I don't have any friends who don't go to church. But here's the thing, and I'm going to say this, and I hope this is received. I'm so scared to say this. I had to ask my wife if this was okay. I told Josh, please come up at this point and play some loving music to try to soften the blow a little bit. Maybe they'll receive it better if you play your beautiful music. I don't know. And I mean this with all, there it is. I mean this with all the love in my heart. And so please receive this with grace. And if you don't like it, just throw it away, okay? But here's the thing, we all know kind of the golden rule, right? You don't steal people from other churches, right? Never invite somebody who already attends church. You don't want to steal people from other churches. Okay, I've been praying really hard about this, and I'm really stuck because I'm really baffled. Let's be honest with each other. This is just honest. Not all churches are created equal, right? Not all churches are created equal. And I'm not saying this because it's my opinion. I'm saying this because this is what you all have told me. As I sat in my small group this week, we went around the room and asked, when we were growing up, did we grow up learning that faith is loving God and loving your neighbor? And everyone went out in the room and said, no, 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 no. Everyone said, what I was taught was faith is memorizing scripture and knowing a lot of facts. But no one ever spoke to me about what it meant to love Jesus, meant to love people and care for people. But I found that when I came to Anchored Hope Church. I didn't find that till I was here, and I wish somebody would have invited me to that kind of church a long time ago, because that kind of church back then, it actually pushed me away because I never felt good enough and I never felt I could reach the standards. And so I never liked church. But I found Anchored Hope, and I love Anchored Hope. Here's the thing, I'm tired. I hear this. I've literally heard these words. I've literally heard somebody in our community say, I want you to know, I go to my church so I don't go to hell, but I listen to your messages so I can be more like Jesus. That's crazy. There are churches, there are 32 churches in the Troy area, and there are churches this morning who are preaching a message and telling people what they need to do to reach God. That's not what I preach. The gospel tells me that what God is doing is God is trying to reach us. And he tells me what he did with his son on the cross that's already done in order to reach us. There are churches this morning, churches you grew up in, churches that you were in, that told people what they needed to do to earn God's love. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm telling you, you don't need to do a thing to earn God's love. He's already shown how much he loves you. I was driving to church this week, and there's a church I go by every time I come into town, and the billboard on their sign that's right there on the street says, you want to meet your neighbors? We're inside. And it baffles me. It drove me crazy. Every time I drive by it, it makes me angry. Because that's not my church, because my church is not a church that says, oh, you want to meet your neighbors? You want to know about Jesus? Well, you're going to have to come in here because we're cooped up. No, my church is a church that goes to our neighbors and knocks on the door and says, we're coming after you because we love you. Tell us how we can serve you. You don't need to come in here to find out about us. We're coming to you because our mission is there's no man left behind. And we're coming to lead you to a relationship with Jesus. I am tired of churches that teach their people who are eager to hear that in order to be Christian, in order to have a relationship with Jesus, what you have to do is jump through the right hoops. That you have to look like this and speak like this and vote Republican and be heterosexual and make sure you're here every week. That's not what a relationship with Jesus looks like. I believe that there are people, friends and family of ours that go to church but don't know Jesus. And I am passionate about people not being in church or going even to heaven. I'm passionate about people having a relationship with their Savior. And so do I believe there are people that need to be saved from other churches? Yes, I do. And I hope you understand that, that you receive that with grace. I'm not talking about stealing people so we can grow in numbers. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I want to see everybody know their full potential through Christ. So do you need to invite some people who already go to church? Yes, you do. Because we're a different kind of church. Our vision is to be a church for people who don't like church. That doesn't mean our music is loud and our pastor has tattoos. What that means is if you go to a church that says your children should be seen, not heard, then we're the church for you because we are not that kind of church. If you don't like church because at your church they tell you you have to go through a priest in order to receive forgiveness, well, that's not us, so we're the church for you. If you go to a church that tells you you've got to go through a class in order to be counted as our special club, then that's great. Come to Anchored Hope because that's not the kind of church that we are. We're the church for you. this is what makes us distinct and different. Not in the way we look, not in the fact that we have donuts. That's not it. You're missing the point. Our vision is to be a church that represents Christ to its fullest. And it's much more than all that other stuff and all those other hoops. It's about loving God and loving your neighbor. And many of you, you found this church later in your life. And that old church turned you off. But you like this church because this doesn't remind you of that kind of church. We're doing our job then. But you need to invite people to come and see. So who are you going to invite? What invitation do you need to hand out to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your kids or your friends? Because just an invitation could change a life, could change a family tree. Let me pray for you this morning. God, this morning, each of us, we got here through a different avenue, different road, different direction. But God, I'm so thankful for everyone who's here. I'm so thankful, God, to see people come and to experience you and feel like this is who Jesus is. This is real. This is more than facts or scripture memorization. This is more than tradition or steps to take. I feel like he's my personal savior now. God, I want everyone to experience that at some point in their life. And God, we all have a choice. We can all choose to deny that or walk away from that. But I want everyone to know about it, God. I want everyone in our community to know about it. I want to lead people to that growing relationship with Jesus. And God, there are people who are simply waiting to be invited. Who all they need is a reason to come and see for themselves. And so God, will you use us in the way that you want to? God, will you use us to help people experience a life with Jesus? God, will you use us to be courageous and bold? Because God, I know that in the future, you're already working things out. There are marriages that need to be healed, affairs that need to be ended, addictions that need to be grabbed hold of, patterns of hate and violence and racism that need to be captured, God, that need to be changed. And some of those people are going to be labeled as Christian because there are places in our community where people claim to be Christian, but they don't act it. They don't show it. God, yeah, there are some of those people that we need to reach today that you need us to invite to Anchored Hope because there is something new and great happening in the city of Troy, right here at 211 Boone Street. Through these people, and God, as we leave today, as we disperse, and we go out to our towns, as we go to Wentzville, as we go to Moscow Mills, as we go to Silex, as we go to Winfield, as we go to Ellsbury, God, there are people waiting for the extension of your hand to touch their lives. So God, will you use us today? Will you be with us? Will you give us the words? Will you help us to use this opportunity next weekend to get people to come and see? And God, may we as a church be ready to receive them. May we be on our A game. May we be different types of Christians than people have ever encountered before. May we be loving and may we be kind. May we not be judgmental, but maybe we be open and loving. And we be the best representation of your Son, Jesus Christ, that people have ever seen before, Lord. God, none of us here are perfect. But may we all continue to grow in you, to receive the best life that you have planned for us. And may we be real more than we are right. Because God, I believe that people will always keep being curious if we're real, if we're honest, if we're ourselves. So God, we come to you today seeking your guidance, seeking your love. Be with us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.